Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. And Ray, I'm going to imagine that you had a little bit more exciting Saturday night than me. You know, I'm away freezing in Chicago at a buddy's wedding, and you saw maybe the best basketball game of the year. You say the best high school game you've ever seen. I mean, I feel bad even being on this podcast. I can't talk about it. Take it away. What'd you see?
Well, it was just the only way to describe it was phenomenal. First of all, the setting. Cox Pavilion, perfect venue for it. Sold out, about 2,500 fans and some standing room only. And it was perfect because it made it real intimate. Everybody was on their feet loud. And it was just a great environment. Two great teams. Findlay Prep, obviously, it's respected nationally. Bishop Gorman, back-to-back Nevada State champions. And the whole game, you had major Division I talent on the floor. And there were 12 college coaches there. And the game went back and forth, double overtime. A lot of clutch shots, a lot of great play. Findlay wins at the buzzer, Cliff Note version. And, I mean, everybody was there. It was just a great game. I mean, as good as it gets.
I guess since I wasn't there and I can't break it down, I'm just going to pose some questions for you to tell me about the game. I've heard all about how it ended, obviously, with all the drama in the first overtime and Gorman missing some shots into the second overtime, giving Findlay that chance to win. But what about regulation? How good did Gorman have to play? I mean, I saw this game last year. I know the circumstances are different, but neither me or you thought Gorman would keep it this close. I mean, did they just play great in regulation?
I think Gorman played, you know, one of its best games of the year, had a great game plan. Started strong. In all basketball, you start strong, you got a good chance to hang around with the eight-minute quarters. And Gorman executed. Shabazz Muhammad had a decent game. And, you know, they took Findlay out of its game. I thought that Gorman wasn't going to be able to handle Mike Kabongo, Findlay's point guard, a Texas commit, who was so quick. I thought he would race up the down the court on him. But Gorman had a great job defensively. And next thing you knew, Findlay missed a few opportunities. Gorman took advantage of it, and the game was fairly close. And got to give credit to where credit is due. Gorman put together a great game plan. Maybe Findlay overlooked him a little bit, but what I thought was real interesting was anytime you go to any Gorman game, they're probably nobody's rooting for him unless it's at Gorman. You know, they'll travel their student section, but everybody loves to see Gorman lose. Well, for this game, everybody was rooting for Gorman. They wanted Gorman to beat Findlay. And Findlay, you know, it's a school of 10 kids. The 10 kids on the basketball team. You know, they never have a crowd, you know. They play their home games, but it's not like other students they know. And I love the way Findlay showed emotion after that game when they won. Because usually they win by lopsided scores. They're playing a team in some other gym there. Nobody knows them. You know, they don't have homecoming or prom or any of that stuff. And to watch those kids, you know, storm the court, and I thought it was pretty cool.
My only thoughts from Findlay are I'm kind of unhappy with the program because on Saturday I saw my alma mater, Kansas Jayhawks, fall at the hands of a couple Findlay guys, Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph. Really just shows you how much talent is always on this Findlay thing, which brings me to my next question about this game. Was Shabazz, all he was hyped up to be, was he the best player on the floor with all that talent that brought all those coaches there?
Well, I'll go back to say that Kabongo, who is going to Texas, who's also from Ontario, Canada, like Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph, after the game when I'm interviewing him, I asked him, hey, did you watch the Texas game today? And he goes, oh, yeah, I watched it. He goes, they got lucky and so did we.
I like that. I like it.
So, I mean, Kansas was up by like 12 points early.
18-3.
It was, yeah. I mean, they're rolling. And nonetheless, but yeah, Shabazz is legit. I think what's so good about Shabazz is that he's a gamer. He wanted the ball in his hands late. If you look at overtime, Gorman had four players who fouled out. It was Shabazz, Ben Carter, and three kids you've never heard, literally have never heard of for Gorman. And, you know, Shabazz wanted to take the big shots. You know, and he finds a way to score 32 points. He might shoot too much. You know, there could be some times where he could get some other people involved, but he's a great player, and I think a lot of people, including Kansas, would like to have him.
Sure. Great game. Look, I guess I got to bring this up quickly because we bring it up every week. I think that you probably saw why Gorman is the top team in the state and why they're going to be favored against anyone, including Canyon Springs. If they play like they did against Finley, no one, including Canyon, can beat them, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think our big argument all year in saying that Canyon would be competitive against Gorman is that Canyon's speed and its guard play would be better than Gorman's speed and guard play. And Kabongo is the fastest point guard in the world. You know, he's up and down the court in a blink of an eye, and Gorman had no problems with them when their starters were playing. In terms of the depth, they didn't have the depth to stay with them the full game, and he finally got his and got to the line after some of these guys had fouled out and got tired. But Canyon Springs doesn't have that kind of depth. You know, if anything, Canyon Springs will be gassed against Gorman. And I always thought that Canyon would have a chance if they played exceptional and if they use their athleticism. But I think when push comes to shove, I think you're right. You know, let's get the banner printed.
Gorman, of course, still on top of the Southwest, 8-0, all but clinched it. I mean, not mathematically, but no one's going to beat them. You look down the Southwest, you got Sierra Vista at 6-2. 3-5-3 teams: Durango, Spring Valley, Western, Desert Oasis at 4-4. Ray Brewer, agree or disagree with this bold statement from me? The Southwest is the best league in basketball this year in Las Vegas. I know going into the season we said Northeast. I know you really like the Northwest. You carry over the black and blue from football. But I'm taking these five teams in the Southwest, or six teams actually, I take against anyone.
Well, see, here's the deal. I think Sierra Vista is legit. I think Gorman's obviously legit. But do you really think that Durango and Western – I get Western's good. But do you think, like, Durango – who's the 3-4 in the Northwest, right?
That's our question.
Is it Legacy? Do you think Legacy beats Durango?
Well,
do you think Legacy beats Spring Valley?
I would take Spring Valley. Wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I would take Durango from what I've heard from Greg Gentry. I mean, he's a folk hero.
He's a PTPer. There's no doubt about it. But – I don't know. I think the leagues match up well. I mean, obviously, the one, Gorman, is as good as it gets. And Sierra Vista is better than Centennial and Palo, right? Yeah, I guess you're right. Southwest, best league in town.
There we go.
It's not
easy.
The Southeast.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
I guarantee.
You notice we have not mentioned the Southeast. Yeah. They're not really in the conversation. But I guess we're going to find out more about all these teams we just mentioned, because really getting down to the end of the season, second half of league play. We're starting to learn what all these teams are all about. Look, if you haven't discovered your team identity by now, you're in a lot of trouble, and you're probably not going anywhere. What are you looking for? What are the main storylines here in the second half of league play?
Well, I think that it's so anticlimactic. I mean, I think Canyon Springs is such a runaway favorite in the Sunrise region, and Gorman's such a runaway favorite in the Sunset region. It's like, what are you playing for? You know, Coronado's played well. Are they going to have a shot at Canyon? El Dorado's, are they going to have a shot at Canyon? Foothill, maybe. Maybe. Are they going to have a shot at Canyon? Not really. And who's going to hang with Gorman?
Well, here's all these teams saving grace that I guess I can think is just hope that Canyon has an off day, like they did against Chaparral, of course, a couple of weeks ago, where Chaparral almost beat them.
Woo!
I mean, it's basketball, so teams can have an off day, but just like you, I'd be stunned if anyone did beat Canyon Springs.
Yeah, and for some reason, in football, we knew the outcome, right? We knew Gorman was runaway favorite to win. But I was so interested in seeing how it got there and who was going to play Gorman and if whoever that was could give Gorman a game. But in basketball, it's like, I just don't know what it is. I mean, there's so much parity after the top teams that, you know, it's like, well, whoever emerges, like who, if you look at the bottom of the Northwest as an example, you know, Legacy, Cheyenne, you know, maybe Cimarron.
Arborview.
Whoever gets that fourth seed, you know what's going to happen to them, right?
Lose.
Yeah, it's like, hey, congratulations. You're the 16th. You're the winner of the playing game in the NCAA tournament going to play Duke. You know what I'm saying?
Or Kansas
or UNLV, whoever, right?
Or UNLV, right. I agree. I think that there are some. I think the interesting races right now for the 3-4 spots, because there hasn't been a lot of teams that have pulled away. Maybe we'll get to some of that this week. So why don't we just jump into some of the games this week. First one, we're going to talk about tomorrow night, Silverado and Green Valley. Right now, the 3-4 teams my Gators, who I told you last week who made a friendly wager would make the playoffs, looking pretty good. What do you think? You think that they can really get up two games in this playoff race and beat Silverado?
Did you see what happened to your Gators when they played Del Sol?
It was an off night. They're 4-3 in the league. They're in the playoffs
now. They needed like 18 overtimes to win the game, and only because some kid got fouled shooting a three-pointer at the buzzer, and he had to make the foul shots to win the game. And Del Sol barely beat Votek.
All I'm saying is I like Green Valley.
I'm telling you right now, are you picking Green Valley in that game?
I actually haven't made my official picks yet. I know you have Silverado, but I'm leaning Green Valley. This team's tough at home. Whenever I look at
tough
their home
at
scores,
home?
They win.
Are they driving to another town? It's
no,
across
it's not,
the road.
It's not travel, but they got the crowd. They feel good on their home court. You know, they know the dimensions
right now,
and everything.
Silverado's a 7-point favorite in that game, and they cover easily.
No way.
Mark
not
my
a
words.
7-point favorite.
Seven.
I will say, though, Silverado has improved, looked better throughout the year, but I like Green Valley in this game, especially plus the 7. Maybe they lose by 2 or something.
Both teams are real young. Anything could happen with young teams.
See, I think Green Valley is a little bit older. I think that's why they're good. It's
well,
they've got a bunch of seniors.
Oh, my God. Okay, but Silverado's young.
Okay, there you go.
I'll take that to the bank, baby.
We'll go next up to the northeast, still in the Sunrise. El Dorado and Desert Pines. Desert Pines has pulled some upsets, but El Dorado standing there with 5-1, second in the league.
El Dorado's in great shape. Curtis Stewart, I guess, is the man. And you got to listen, they're winning games, and that's all that counts. DP somehow beat Vegas and beat Shap, I think, too, right?
I'm not sure who their other win was, but now, I mean, look, that they've shown they're capable of upsets.
They're not beating the Sun Devils, baby. El Dorado, all the way.
I don't even need to mention these next two team names because, well, we'll just say Greg Gentry versus Shabazz Muhammad. Who you got?
Well, all I will tell you is the Greg Gentry-led Durango Trailblazers were leading Gorman by 10 points this year. Unfortunately, they lost by 20. this is just a huge rivalry game. Back in the day when Durango was, you know, the best team in town and before Gorman kind of got to where it is now, Durango-Gorman was the game of all games, the game of the year. Circle it on your calendar. Not so now, but I think Greg Gentry is fun to watch. And Gorman, maybe they have a little Finley prep hangover. Maybe they're looking ahead to their next ESPN televised game. Nonetheless, they win big.
Look, I don't know what it is, but I think at all levels of sports, if you have a game like Gorman did against Finley Prep, they're going to come back and they aren't going to be 100% on right away. That being said, I just don't think this Durango team has the talent to hang with Gorman or beat Gorman. I mean, I'm not saying they're not talented, but I don't think they can beat Gorman, but I do think that they're going to keep it pretty close like they did the first time. Obviously, we talked about that Southwest and how tough it is. Every game's so big. Spring Valley, one of the teams fighting for a playoff spot, they play Bonanza. Should get a win there on Wednesday night, which brings us to our next Southwest game. A big one, Western and Sierra Vista. Western beat Sierra Vista earlier in the year. Has kind of stumbled here lately, has dropped a few games. But definitely they could get back in it with a win at Sierra Vista here.
Yeah, Western was not only did they beat Sierra Vista the first time, they convincingly beat Sierra Vista.
About by 20, I think.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden Western is fighting for its playoff life at 5-3, technically, you know, hanging around 16-4 overall. And I think Sierra Vista is just a different team. They've got a few transfers eligible, and I think Sierra Vista wins this.
I think Sierra Vista wins, too. The thing that's crazy to think about this is if you look at who some of the other teams are playing earlier in the week, if Sierra Vista wins and Western loses, they aren't tied for that last playoff spot. They're out of the playoffs, so they're going to have to finish. I know they still have Gorman one more time. Western's going to have to finish just to make the playoffs, which I don't think either of us thought we would be saying at the beginning of the year.
I agree with you.
We'll go next to Cheyenne and Cimarron. Listen, Cheyenne is 4-9 overall, yet you keep picking them every week. I think Cimarron is 16-3 or 16-4, and you're picking Cheyenne to win. I think this is just to get under my skin.
Cheyenne needs this win, baby. Here's the deal. Cheyenne didn't get any tournaments like your Cimarron Spartans did. They're not one of those.
Cimarron wouldn't want a tournament.
No, but what I'm saying is that Cimarron's got the resources to pay for the tournament. Cheyenne, they shut it down. They've only played 13 games.
And they've won 4 of them. That should
tell you
enough.
What, number 5 is coming against Cimarron. I'm telling you guys.
What, you just like their speed? Or, I mean, just what is it about the Cheyenne
team? Cheyenne is like ultra-athletic. Elijah Johnson, your boy from Kansas, went there.
Yeah, well, the Elijah Johnson days are far gone. I know it's only 2 years in reality, but it seems a lot longer than that. Thursday night, another Southeast game, Liberty and Coronado. Liberty almost beat Coronado the first time they played, but Coronado's pretty much rolled since then.
Yeah, and obviously because of the proximity of the two schools, this game, you know, brings a little extra emotion. Bottom line, what Coronado's doing, going unbeaten in league, is pretty good. It's rather unprecedented in any league to go undefeated in basketball. I think Coronado's going
to
do it.
Yeah, you still think they're a one-and-done team when we get to tournament time?
I will tell you right now, and I'll drop this bomb on people later, I think the Northeast is head and shoulders athletic, tougher than the Southeast. If anybody's going to win a game, it's going to be Coronado. But if Coronado has to play like a real physical Vegas team in that first game, it could be troublesome.
Well, let's just go right ahead again. Can I denounce the Green Valley as my Gators in this game? Because I don't like them too
What's
much.
What's
going
to happen?
I don't like them too much going to Foothill.
What happens when Green Valley plays Cimarron? Who are you going to root for that game?
Well, okay, yeah. This is a big difference. Cimarron, I like to win the whole division. Green Valley, I'm just saying they'll make the playoffs because I made a nice little wager with you. If they play Cimarron, I think Cimarron wins by 20. Maybe they've already played. Have they even played?
Who knows? Okay.
Right.
But against Foothill, I think Green Valley loses significantly. I think Foothill's a solid two. And even though I just said I don't think the Southeast is going to win any playoff games, I think Foothill will give whoever they play quite the battle.
Looking like a maybe be Valley at this point. El Dorado, if they slip.
Which I
maybe.
Think they match up well against Valley.
So, yeah, I mean, Foothill, they've been kind of a tough team for me to figure all year. They have some games that
young,
look great.
Young
and,
team.
And some teams where and some games where they don't. Greg Cox, though, been pretty consistent for them. Seems like he's putting up a bunch of threes every
the
game.
The lefty he could shoot. And who I like from Foothill is Miles Killebrew, the football player.
Well, he plays basketball?
God, he looks great in a tank top, man. He's got a real nice – you could tell he's lifted weights. You know, he was matching up against one of your favorite high school football players. And you could tell, even though – Boyd from Basics, only a sophomore, and hasn't, you know, had the time to get big and strong like Killebrew, but the muscle definition was sensational.
A game that's pretty interesting to me on Friday, El Dorado in Vegas. Vegas, obviously, we talked about, we're a little disappointed with them last week, 2-4, sixth in the league, but they can really get back on track here if they can beat El Dorado and pull off a couple other wins this week.
They've got to start winning immediately. I mean, two wins in league? You got to be kidding me. With the talent they have on that team. So a win against El Dorado changes the whole thing, though. Listen, there's still six games left or whatever in league. They got a chance.
Upset City, I'm taking the Wildcats. I think you do have the Sun Devils, even though you said they have to start winning immediately. Valley plays Rancho. You got to think like Valley there. Chaparral plays Sunrise Mountain, thinking you got to like Chap.
Hey, we're back, so baby. We're back. We're in the thick of the playoff race.
Maybe not a whole lot of turnover in the Northeast and Friday's games. Desert Oasis goes to Sierra Vista. Nice little rivalry there, and I think it was really close the first two times they played. Diamondbacks have Cameron Mickel, who might just score 60 in this game, but I like Sierra Vista.
That's all they have, as I told you last week, and Sierra Vista's a lot better now than they were during the first meeting. A few new players.
Right. Seems to be a recurring theme with Sierra Vista. The new guy's going to help them out. Legacy and Mojave, another game we picked.
By the way, let's take a step back. What happened last week when it was the Mojave? Who'd they play? Cimarron last week?
They play Cimarron?
Check on the schedule.
We got it.
All I'm saying is that I made this proclaim that Mojave was going to give whoever they played a fight, and you were like, oh, no way, Cimarron or whoever it is hugely better. It'd be Friday's game.
Friday's game? I'm not
last Friday, the 21st, January
21st. Oh, the
21st.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, they played Cimarron. I think you picked them to win, though.
They lost off the by a point. I'm telling you right now, this Mojave team, even though I like Legacy in this game, I told you Mojave's got some players. Just wanted to point that out.
I don't know
going
back. I don't know who I'm going to pick in this game. I think they're really even. We said this earlier, but there's about four teams in the Northwest that seem either equally good or equally bad. The way you look at it, it's going to get that last seed.
And that's the problem. Who wants to play for – you're playing to play Gorman. You know, at least you get to play in Gorman's gym that day and get to maybe
nice little gym. You
like
know?
Maybe Shabazz will throw a sweatband on the floor and you might get a souvenir.
There you go. I guess I'll take Legacy 2 tentatively, but don't hold it to me. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
All right.